And on today's Windy City CareerCast, we go under the big top and potentially in some caves. Mitchell Fain's on the show with me again. I'm so glad to have him back. We're on the couch, and we are going to a new show, Cavalia, with one of the stars of the show, Jesse Lee Cooper. That is very exciting. I have to tell you, it's a show unlike anything you've ever seen, and I give it big, big, big thumbs up and so many stars, you can't even count them in the sky. It's such a great show. Also, Harry Potter new movie's out, and Richard Knight Jr. has the review. Plus, what's going on in the news? Well, Mitchell and I need to talk about Matthew Shepard, Hate Crimes Prevention Act, and some things that have our dander up quite a lot. Ooh, it's a good show.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City CareerCast, show number 318. On the couch, I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain, back on the couch.
Oh, you're back on the couch.
I am.
The last show we couldn't do on the couch.
No, we did up in your office.
We're having some technical difficulties. Although I don't think it sounded like we had technical difficulties.
No, it sounded good. I actually sort of liked the old-fashioned microphone. It was like an old,
we were doing like mic to mic.
It reminded me of when I was, years ago I did the show called Bitches, and we got to be on the a radio show as the bitches and Seika. Do you remember when Seika,
the porn star, had a trans porn star, right?
No, she was a female born female.
Was she?
Had a show, a radio show in town.
Yeah.
And Seika, I think her name was Seika. Anyway, we went on as the bitches. It was four guys as playing cheerleaders.
That was the factory, right?
Yeah, the factory theater. It was a friggin' brilliant show. We weren't playing drag queens. We were playing
young girls.
Yeah, we were supposed to be playing girls. So we went on as the bitches, and it got so we were all improvisers. So we all got crazy, and I said the C word
on Seika's show
and got in trouble.
I did.
Bleep. I mean, I don't think there were any repercussions after that because who was listening to Seika's show? But
people who would love to have the word cunt said on the show.
I said it. Yeah. And I the look on like our director's face who was there, Sean Abloh, was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
He was like, I can't believe you went that far.
Yeah.
I can't believe you did it. Yeah. Anyway, brilliant.
Well, the whole thing is that some of my software doesn't work now with my recording devices. I've updated it. So I called our editor, Dylish. And I called her and I said, what the frack? Like, what's going on? Why can't I do this? So she sent me like this old iBook. So that I can rip all of these podcasts.
Isn't it amazing that you need
podcasts?
An older version of something to use technology?
Because this is an older recording device, I just really love it.
When we were in Bermuda,
I'm comfortable with it.
You know, everything in Bermuda is so expensive that we would, whenever we would get off the ship, we would try to find some free wireless, which was sort of our goal every time we got off the ship. Yep. So we found this gorgeous cafe in Hamilton, just gorgeous, really like elegant, beautifully appointed. We walk in, this beautiful woman's behind the counter. She's like, sit. It's just gorgeous, yummy stuff and good coffee. And do you have Wi-Fi? Absolutely. Sit here all day. I mean, just gorgeous. We were like, we have found our place. Well, because they had an old system. Mm-hmm. It didn't work with my new...
My new wireless
Mac. Mm-hmm. So the two people, me and my Sarah and I, both had these sort of brand new Macs. And we couldn't...
do shit with them.
We couldn't do shit. It wouldn't recognize it because our computers were too new.
Yeah.
It's like, shouldn't new stuff incorporate the old stuff?
I don't know. Not the opposite? It's so weird. You know, it becomes outdated.
Now we're tech geeks. Well, actually, we're not tech geeks. We're like tech... retard.
We're totally...
that's a totally inappropriate
thing. I'm totally like not a tech geek. Daya is so happy whenever I know how to do anything. But, you know, I did see, I was out in kind of macho man land, which is ABT Electronics last weekend because I'm buying a new television.
Love ABT.
Oh my God. It's the suburban oasis mall of electronics. And in there they have an Apple store. So of course I'm a Mac person. I have to go directly to, do not stop, you know, do not pass go, do not collect $200, go straight to the Mac store. So I'm at the Mac store and I'm looking at the new MacBook Pro and I was like drooling and all the whatever gadgets and just love those cute little boys, those genius Apple boys to just tell me like,
oh, God,
you should get this or you should do that. And they're all like under 25.
I love the Apple boys.
It's totally your porn shop.
Oh God, I love the Apple boys.
And so anyhow, I'm telling Di all of this. And one of the weird things is that there's something in my skin, I think, that eats off letters on a laptop keyboard. My old Mac, I used to go through tons and tons and tons of keys where they would just go, there would be no letter on them.
I remember this about your computer. Yes.
So Di was asking me, she was like, you know, has anything happened with your new laptop? Because the new MacBook Pro has black keys. This is totally sounding like a tech show. It's hilarious. So anyhow,
I know, because I'm like the least technical person.
I know. It's all about fashion and, you know, the style of it. It's black keys.
Cute boys.
Really look cool and cute boys. We're keeping it gay. We're gaying up the technology. But I was telling her, you know, no. You know, so far I have all my letters on my keys after a year and a few months. And I said, but one of my letters is kind of smudged. It's really weird. I don't know why it like smudged. And she goes, oh, that happens sometimes. You know, my C and my N, like the letters you write a lot with, you know, sometimes they go away. My C and my N are almost all gone away. And I was like, because you typed the word cunt so many
times.
Yeah,
exactly. Why C and N?
Why is C and N, Di?
C is not used that much, is it?
I know.
N's are used a lot.
I made her Google.
I
made her giggle.
That's a tech joke.
Yes, a tech joke.
That's so funny. When you LOL, does that mean you Google, not giggle?
Yeah, you Google and you don't giggle.
I judge how often funny letters are used by their point value in Scrabble. And Scrabble, I think C is a three point word.
Yeah.
So it's used
10 points. It's like a lot.
No, it's three. You get 3 points for it, but hopefully you use it on maybe a double letter or a double word. On the ship, we played Scrabble I miss my peeps. Shout out to my peeps, my Scrabble peeps. Every
you can
Thursday.
Play with Kirk, our news editor, our news caster.
Is he a Scrabbler?
Always such a Scrabble head.
We should play on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, I have to tell you this.
Yes.
You know, I talk about all the time, like, check out my Facebook page because I put this thing up, or say hi to me on Facebook. Well, finally, someone, a listener to the podcast, Facebooked me. So I get this message from somebody adding me as a friend.
You didn't offend somebody so much that they actually want to be your friend.
Exactly, I do.
That's
right.
Very good.
Exactly. So I, whenever somebody adds me as a friend, and I don't know who they are. We don't have mutual friends. I always ask, "How do we know each other?"
Yep.
I figure that's polite.
Yep.
And so he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said I'm a fan of the podcast." His name's Michael. So shout out to Michael.
Yeah.
He and I are now Facebook friends. We had this really great chat yesterday.
Awesome.
Really interesting. He's a really interesting guy. Anyway, hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, we have obviously got many ways for you all to communicate with us. You can become a Facebook friend of Mitchell. You can become, you can follow me on Twitter /AmyMuffini. There you go. Tweet, tweet. You can also follow, I think there are Facebook pages for Windy City Times. There's Facebook pages for Night Spots as well.
And
if
of course,
there's
Alex's blog.
Stephen's blog are both linked on our site.
Had dinner with Alex
site
last night.
You did.
John Cardone and Alex and I just sort of randomly ended up... John Cardone and I were going to have dinner. And then Alex texted me and she was like, I finished with school. I'm starving. And I was like, well, John Cardone and I are eating, so just join us.
Yeah.
So we just went to a diner and we stayed till it closed and made public spectacles of ourselves.
Good.
And I talked about getting... Remember last week I was talking about my Bermudian...
Yes.
My Bermudian lover.
Yes.
And his sort of issues. Mm-hmm. And how we had to sort of skulk around the island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is how the conversation ended up. I said... John said something about, I said, I felt bad, you know, he cared for me, I think, more than I cared for him. And we were skulking around the island, and we couldn't go anywhere because he couldn't come on the ship, and I couldn't go to his house because you can't be out in Bermuda, and he lived with his family. And so he would take me to these beautiful caves and old forts. And so then he'd want to make out in the caves.
Like
and
the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
What the hell?
So John said, well, and I said, but it was fun because he was beautiful. He was a really beautiful boy and a nice boy, and he had this motorcycle, and that was fun. And John said, well, and you had a lot of sex. I said, no, we didn't actually have, well, he did blow me in a cave. And then blow me in a cave became the theme
that
of the evening.
That is the best phrase.
So we couldn't.
I've been blown in a cave,
Have you been blown in a cave?
Yeah, usually at least once a month.
Your bedroom is rather cavernous.
I prefer it to be once a week.
Your bedroom is rather cavernous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went spelunking while I was in Bermuda. And
watch your language.
Thank you.
It's fine to say cunt on the show, but I'm not sure about the spelunking. S word.
Anyway, blown in a cave is the new...
in a cave. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
It's the new fashion. If you haven't gotten a blowjob in a cave, you haven't lived.
Yeah, and if you have, I hope that you'll post a comment actually just directly on WindyCityQueerCast.com.
I can't believe I just told that story, as a matter of fact.
WindyCityQueerCast.com. You can just always comment on any shows. And on this one, we should just have tons of you say that you've been blown in a cave.
Yeah, let's find out how many people have been. And I'm talking about
blown
an actual,
in a cave or done the SPK word.
Yeah, I'm actually talking about an actual cave, people with like stalagmites and like water and like you have to.
Oh, does it have to be an actual? Couldn't it just really be what we
a metaphorical
think
cave?
In a cave
no,
is?
I'm talking about an actual cave. Or I guess you could tell us your story of your metaphorical cave.
Yeah. I don't think the lesbians really need to.
I guess not.
Say been blown in a cave.
I can't believe I just told that story.
It's a good one, though. And today's a great show as well. We are going to be, I don't know if Jesse's ever been blown in a cave, but he's done some amazing things.
By the way, I reciprocated. I'm just saying, I'm not selfish.
All right, good for you. You're generous.
I am.
You're generous in caves.
Only in caves.
Jesse Lee Cooper's on the show today. He's with a beautiful new show called Cavalia, which starts with the first three letters of cave.
It does, you're
it
right.
It does, indeed.
And V is a four-letter word in Scrabble.
It's, oh, very.
I mean, a four-point word.
A four-point word. Or a four-letter word, potentially. Jesse Lee Cooper on Cavalia is the new show in town. It's kind of a circus theatrical extravaganza with 64 horses. It is one of the most amazing, beautiful, out there, unique theatrical experiences I've ever seen. And Jesse Lee Cooper is one of the openly gay members, horse trainers, riders, and he's a Southern boy, so you gotta love that.
God bless.
He's on our show, and Kelly and I went to see the show, and I highly, highly recommend it. Like, Run, Don't Walk. It's only here through the first couple of days of August.
I hope I get a chance to see it before I start rehearsals.
Oh, genius. And also, many of you may have already seen this if you're truly a Potterite. But if not, Harry Potter, the new movie, is out. This is a big one. Lots of big things happen and lots of love for the young threesome. So Harry Potter review, Richard Knight Jr. has that for us. And we've got news and entertainment and much, much more. Plus, Mitchell and I are going to come back and talk about one piece of news, not in our news, because we just want to chit-chat about it, bitch about it. Moan about it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some positives to it. So all that, what a big show.
Big show.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
In Utah, a police report connected to a same-sex kissing incident seemingly supports the gay couple that was detained. Security guards of the Mormon church handcuffed and detained two men as they walked across a church plaza, citing them for trespassing. However, details of the report do not agree with the church's statement that the pair was not discriminated against because of their sexual orientation.
Talion Goffney, one of the so-called twin brother bandits, has made a plea bargain implicating his twin as his co-conspirator. Talion also pled guilty to two counts of burglary and criminal conspiracy in connection with two rooftop robberies in Philadelphia last year. The Goffney brothers starred in several hardcore gay porn movies, including Blackball 5.
Activist Jean Cordova has given $30,000 to the One National Gay and Lesbian Archives in Los Angeles, the largest donation ever given by a lesbian to an LGBT archive. Cordova, the former publisher of the national feminist lesbian news magazine, The Lesbian Tide, said, "Our younger generations are eager to learn about their heritage that's not taught in schools. Lesbian history is a critical part of that heritage."
In world news, in Britain, a Jamaican woman is asking the country's immigration department to not deport her back to Jamaica because she is a lesbian. A British court has found the woman guilty of drug dealing. In 2005, she was sent to prison, and the unnamed woman entered into lesbian relationships with fellow inmates. British immigration officials do not believe the woman, saying her claims are just a ruse to avoid deportation.
In Venezuela, Catholic bishops have voiced their opposition to the so-called Organic Law for Gender Equity and Equality, which would provide for same-sex marriage. The bishops have condemned the proposed measure.
In Greece, that country's parliament's Public Administration Committee killed a bill that would have extended rights to same-sex couples who cohabitate. Justice Minister Nikos Dindias said that the government would investigate the issue further.
In entertainment news, the producers of Hair, the American tribal love rock musical, have announced they are canceling the show's October 11th performance so that the entire cast can join the National Equality March in Washington, D.C.
In France, a stage being built for a July 19th Madonna concert collapsed, killing two people and injuring several others. Technicians were setting up a stage at the 60,000-seat Stade Vélodrome Stadium in Marseille when the accident happened. The concert, part of the singer's Sticky and Sweet tour, was canceled. Madonna said, "My prayers go out to those who were injured and their families, along with my deepest sympathy to all those affected by this heartbreaking news."
Former Will and Grace star Eric McCormack was devastated when his TV drama Trust Me was axed and only agreed to a role in the new medical comedy show Blind Justice so he could keep working. Trust Me was let go after just one season because of poor ratings.
Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe loves it when people think he's gay. He said, "I grew up around gay people my entire life, basically. That's possibly why I'm quite camp. And some people think I'm gay when I meet them, which I think is awesome."
Members of the notoriously anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church of Kansas picketed outside the American Idol finalist concert in San Jose, California last week, targeting singer Adam Lambert, who recently officially came out in Rolling Stone magazine. Fellow finalist Michael Sarver wrote on Twitter, "Funny how people think it's a good idea to mess with a big Texan and his AI American Idol family. Adam is just fine, shakes it off, and so should we."
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Almost 2 years to the day since the last installment, the movie wizardry and epic yet heartfelt storytelling that has become the cornerstone of the Harry Potter series is back to enthrall audiences anew. And HP6, otherwise known as Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, is finally the popcorn action blockbuster summer 09 has needed. But, like last year's big summer masterpiece, The Dark Knight, this is one action spectacular that adds an undercurrent of unease to the witch's brew as it's delivering one thrilling sequence after another. Audiences will have a great entertaining time in HP6, but the darkness, which is pushed further forward with each movie, is now front and center. And the movie, which alternates the magical set pieces with scenes of teenage romantic angst, is cloaked in melancholy and regret. The paternal relationship between Harry and Dumbledore, his headmaster, comes front and center here as he tries to prepare Harry for what lies ahead. Though Dumbledore's gay sexuality isn't mentioned, it makes the events that unfold with the character resonate much more for audiences of a similar persuasion. The veneer of regret in Dumbledore's eyes, Michael Gambone is tremendous in the role, is heightened when one imagines an untold personal backstory for the character. The regret and tenderness in the character and Gambone's performance makes events toward the end of the film that much more somber. The richly detailed sets and costumes, a hallmark of the series, do not disappoint, and you find yourself gasping with delight and awe at the movie magic conjured up here. The stunning visuals are indeed a delight to encounter, but it's the shared experience that trumps everything else. Only the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Fantasy for Adults, has matched the Potter series in its ability to give an audience of strangers this feeling of a shared experience, the greatest compliment any movie can hope to have. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Eight times a week, another 2,000 Chicagoans experience the musical phenomenon that is Jersey Boys. When this supercharged sensation first arrived, the Tribune proclaimed, "Jersey Boys rock Chicago." And it has. Over 500,000 people have thrilled to the smash hit blockbuster about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I love you, baby. Every night at the Bank of America Theater, a new audience goes wild for the story of four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom. So the only question left is, what are you waiting for? Discover what everyone's cheering about and take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music with Jersey Boys. Oh, what a night. Jersey Boys. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 20th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Jazz Dance World Festival 2009 comes to the Harris Theater in Millennium Park for four nights only this week, July 22nd through the 25th. Featuring 15 American and international dance companies, including host company Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago. The Chicago Sun-Times calls Jazz Dance World Festival fiery and breathtaking. For tickets, visit harristheaterchicago.org.
The next installment of About Face Theater Summer Camp 2009, a summer cabaret series, continues with The Homo Show, hosted by celebrity rapper slash crafter Leslie Hall, featuring an all-star cast of local queer performers, plus local DJ legends Reaganomics, of formerly known as, and Stinky Pinky of Think Pink Radio. One show only, Monday, July 27th, at Subterranean, 8 p.m., For more on The Homo Show, visit aboutfacetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hey, pigs! This is Judy Tenuta, the Love Goddess, and you're listening to Queercast. It makes my hormones slam dance. It can happen.
Well, there is a new show in town, and this is not an official review, but, you know, you listen to me, so you must like something of what I say. I tell you to run, don't walk, because you only have a few more weeks to catch Cavalia, which is a fantastic show that I wouldn't even know how to describe it. So I'm so thrilled to have Jesse Lee Cooper, who is one of the writer, trainers, and performers in this majestical, beautiful theatrical extravaganza that's happening right downtown Chicago under the big white top, the white big top, if you've seen it. And, you know, normally we only see that for Cirque du Soleil. And if you like that, you'll definitely love Cavalia. And I'm so glad to have Jesse on the show to talk with us about it and the horse world and the performance world and touring the world, being a gay man all in the center of it all. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. This show just wowed me and my partner this past weekend. We just loved it, and I can't stop talking about it. So I'm so thrilled before I even saw it that I had planned to talk with you. So congratulations on the show here in Chicago.
Thank you very much.
Tell me what is, let's describe the show first. Just tell me if you had to say this is what Cavalia is, what would you say?
Okay. Cavalia is actually a lot of different things. It's kind of a different story for everyone who sees it. For me, it's kind of a story about relationships and partnerships, the relationships between nature, being with the horses and the environment and the human component.
Yeah. I mean, because really, it is for people who have no knowledge of what I'm talking about, this is a acrobatic. There are acrobats, there are horses, there is a huge big top. I mean, how big is this this big tent that you all have constructed downtown Chicago?
Oh, it's a massive. We kind of call ourselves our own little private village. Everything that we do is right there. All of our training happens there. We have a full-time chef that lives with us. Everything that we could possibly need is right there on site. Because, we do travel so much, it's difficult for us to be out in the city taking care of things that we need to take care of personally.
Right.
So, we bring our village along with us.
Well, and it's like the stage is the width of a NFL football field, right?
It is, too. We are actually the largest touring stage in the world. I think we're actually the largest touring tent in the world.
Wow. How many people does it take to put on this show every night? Or how many performers?
Night.
Let's say, performers that would include horses, so people and performers.
Okay. Right. Well, we have 64 horses currently on the tour with us.
Wow.
Per performance, we probably use about 48 horses each evening, and we try to switch them out as they're needed for vacation time for the horses. I think we now are up to 34 performers within the company.
Yeah.
We have around about 250 total employees, being full-time or part-time, with setup and teardowns. I believe the number now is around 150 full-time employees that we work with.
It's kind of like the circus, and it's kind of like a horse show, and it's kind of like a piece of theater, and it's almost like performance art. Like, I kind of don't even know how to tell people, and I don't know what to tell people, what it is, because as you said, it's something different for everybody. Like, I have a background with horses being in my childhood my whole life with my father. Raised in Tennessee and was around Tennessee walking horses my whole life. My dad's first job was braiding manes for the Tennessee walking horses and tails. And then he had thoroughbreds when I was a young child. So I spent many, many, many summers living in Ocala, Florida at the Holiday Inn, which people on the podcast probably don't know that, because I've never had an opportunity to talk about horses on the show ever. But my partner, is a little timid about horses, never been on a horse, knows nothing about them. It doesn't matter where you come to it. You're totally moved, because she was absolutely moved. What is your background with the horse world and just riding in general?
Okay. I started as a child riding when I was about 10 years old. So I've been doing this for about 20 years, mostly in the quarter horse world, doing that sort of thing. And then I became a professional trainer. And I started doing a lot of natural horsemanship work and working with a lot of corrective training for horses with issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then I began getting into the dressage horses, which is what I currently work with in this show.
Yeah.
That's my specialty here, is the dressage aspect of it.
Okay, so what is dressage for people who don't know what that is?
It's just, it's kind of hard. I don't want to say it's a higher degree of training for the horses, because every discipline is very complicated in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But the easiest way for me to explain it to someone who doesn't know anything about a horse is basically a dressage horse can equate to like a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
We're training them to do really hard maneuvers and make it look absolutely effortless and not be able to see the rider actually ask the horse to do anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it should become rider and horse as one unit that is kind of dancing on a stage for you.
Yeah. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like a ballet and some sort of fantastical, you know, a ballet that was a ballet of horses and artists and acrobats in the air. And sometimes it was fast and it was fun and kooky, jokey acrobatics. And sometimes it was just the most graceful and moving thing I've ever seen. I mean, there is something like, it must be 100-foot long screen that you all have that you're projecting different sceneries, and you're either in the forest or the snow's falling or the leaves are falling, or it just absolutely transports you. Is it getting tiring to you? How long have you been with the tour?
I've been with the tour for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I actually get that question a lot, if I'm getting tired and bored and am I ready to go on soon. No, I don't think that I am getting tired of it at all, because every single show is a different show for us.
Mm.
With the element of, like, traditional circus or traditional cirque, it's all human-based, so everything is completely controlled.
Mm-hmm.
In our show, in Cavalia, we have that animal element that we cannot always control. They are thinking animals.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it, and it's our job, especially as a writer, and it's my job to make whatever they're giving me be what I want and present the goal that I'm trying to present to the audience, whether the horse is being cooperative or being completely uncooperative.
Yeah.
I have to make that work for that night. So it's a different show, and I never know what's going to happen every time I walk out onto that stage.
Now, you are in a number of different numbers. One of them that just shocked the hell out of me was the Bungee Cavaliers, where, you and another rider are on horseback and you're almost doing a pas de deux with an aerialist woman on a bungee cord, kind of hopping and springing around the horse and floating through the air. And who comes up with the numbers? And then how do you, who has been a horse rider from, Georgia doing dressage work, how do you leap to now dealing with like a circus acrobat bungee jumping all around you? Where is that leap?
It's very interesting how I got here. In fact, when I first was presented the opportunity, I originally said no. I have a professional riding career and training career back in Atlanta, and I can't leave my clients. I can't leave what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up just kind of out of a spur-of-the-moment whim, being convinced that I should go and audition by some friends of mine who actually helped in the creation of the show.
Oh, wow.
So I flew out to L.A. when they were there performing and did an audition. They took me right then on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, dear, now I have to go home and tell all my clients that I'm leaving in a month and, send them to new trainers or whatever I need to do for them.
I'm running off with the circus. I hope that's what you
said. Exactly. I was like, I've always joked about running away with the circus. I'm finally going to do it.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of just a crazy, sporadic, random moment in my life that everything was going well for me. There was no reason for it. Just kind of fell in there. And I was like, well, it's an opportunity to go see the world. So why not do that while I can?
Where all have you been?
Well, we just came from a 2-year tour in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We visited Spain, Belgium, Germany. Just trying to pull all the places out right now in my head. Italy, France.
Are all the audiences different from country to country? I mean, do you have an audience that were like, that was my favorite country, like, because the audiences were so vocal or?
Yeah, they are. I believe actually my favorite audiences were actually in Spain.
Oh, wow.
Because Spain there's such a strong traditional equestrian background from Spain, and the history of the horse in Spain is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this massive support while we were in Spain, and almost every night sold out.
Wow.
It was a really warm, welcoming audience.
So speaking of warm welcome audiences, is the horse world a very gay world? And how is it to be a gay man, an openly gay man in this world? I mean, in the general horse world and I guess in the circus horse world, which may be two different things.
It is totally two different things. in the generalized professional horse world outside of circus, I personally have not had any problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I am open. I don't hide anything about anything. So, when I'm out there, if I happen to be, if I have my partner with me, I don't it's not ever a concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had any problems. Everyone's very welcome and open. There are places, you know, such as in Spain, it's not such an open topic, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I felt when I was in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I never hid anything,
mm-hmm.
but when I would go out and talk to people, that was kind of the general consensus of, oh, okay, well, you know, let's not make a big production,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I never make a production anyways,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I think, as far as professionally, I don't have a problem with anything. Within the circus world, it doesn't matter at all. Just
mm-hmm.
everyone is so, you know, you are who you are. We're all freaks in the world, so
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. Be
mm-hmm.
your own freak.
Yeah. It's so interesting because, you know, with my mentality has always been kind of that horse cowboy, whether it's Southern or Western world, is very, you know, very straight, very white, very male, you know. And
yeah.
if you're female or if you're a person of color or if you're, you know, gay, that would be a rough terrain. And yet it seems like we're seeing more with gay rodeos and, I mean, God forbid,
right.
on the mainstream Brokeback Mountain, you know, we're kind of saying that, you know, there are these gay outdoorsmen we have yet to see. Well, I guess even Cowgirls Get the Blues, we had some gay outdoors women, but, you know, that we're starting to see that we truly are in every aspect of career path and community, and all of that. So it's exciting to hear that you feel like you can be open.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think those elements have really helped a lot. You know, I think as a child, I wasn't so much aware of it, but thinking back on it, yeah, maybe there was a little bit more stigmatism to being gay and being open in the equestrian world.
Mm-hmm.
As for now, you know, because of, you know, Brokeback Mountain and the gay radio and all this other stuff happening, for me, and, you know, now that I'm coming into my professional career and
mm-hmm.
being out there, I do know several gay trainers that are
yeah.
professionally out there working and openly working.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's perfectly normal, actually, and no one thinks anything of it whatsoever now.
Tell me about trick riding, because obviously we should say that the horses, you know, sometimes have no harnesses on them. They are out there with a person either dancing around them. I mean, that is the thing that just blew me away in the opening number, and I won't steal any of the secrets. But just so you know, like, sometimes the horses are harnessed and, you know, they're being ridden in a traditional way in which, you know, to see a, you know, person straddling the back of a horse riding it. Sometimes people are standing and doing acrobatics on the back of a horse. And sometimes the horses are just free in this enormous stage space area running on and off stage. But
right.
trick riding is kind of the good rodeoing, comedy, fun, you know, kind of high theatrics part of the evening, where the horses are going full steam back and forth with you all, most of the cast, it seems, you know, riding and doing different tricks. Had you done any trick riding, and what does that feel like to be hanging off of a horse, flipping yourself around it, going a million
right.
miles per hour?
For me, I had not done any trick riding before this show. I was a classical vaulter, which is similar to trick riding, but we're done more controlled. It's much slower. I kind of describe classical vaulting as a dancer on top of a horse doing our performance tricks. And with the trick riding, we lose the element of control of the horse because
mm-hmm.
he is free. We cannot do anything with the horse. We just let them go. They run as fast as they want to run. We do our trick and hope that we stay on top of that animal.
Mm-hmm.
so it's one of those things you really have to trust the horse that's with you and know that they're going to be there. Because if something goes wrong on that stage, we can't do anything about it.
Right.
You know, the horse has to take care of it for us.
Yep.
So it was a scary moment, but the first time I actually threw my first trick on that horse, just running wide open down that stage.
Yeah.
But it was also a very empowering moment because
yeah.
it's just, you just give it all to the horse and the horse takes care of you.
Now, do you have certain horses that you ride and you only ride those horses? And what are your responsibilities for the horses, you know, apart from the 2 hours that you're on stage with them during the show?
We are given our own horses. I have 3 horses that are mine. My responsibilities for them are basically their care and their training. I train them specifically for the acts that I do with them. And then I prepare them for the show before I have to, you know, do all their grooming and stuff like that. If I notice anything going on with them, we have a veterinarian on staff, so we go talk to the veterinarian, and we work with them to make sure that they're healthy and that they can do what we need for them to do.
Yeah. What is the hardest part of the show? What's your favorite part?
As far as the acts of the show?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that's what it is, or has it been being in front of so many people, or just what's been hard for you about the experience, and what has been like the thing you really enjoy the most about the entire world of Kavalia?
Okay, I think the most enjoyable part for me is the travel and just meeting people and being able to like do these interviews and talk to people and have my voice heard by so many people, be it whether it's on an interview or just, you know, giving them what I give them from the stage itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge part of a performer is, you know, we don't actually speak to people, but we give them a massive part of our own lives and of our own heart when we step onto the stage. So for me, that's probably the most rewarding part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The most challenging part of this job for me has to be being away from home.
Because
I'm only home for, you know, 5 or 6 days every 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
So it's very tough, you know, and especially because I am Southern, we are a very, very family-oriented group of people. So
we sure are, honey. They are. Your mama and daddy and family, your kin are missing you, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Your people, you know, that's what we call them. Our people are missing us.
Yeah.
Now, are you partnered? So are you having to deal with that as well?
I am not. I am unfortunately single.
Don't say unfortunately. That just lets your freedom ring from country to country. I love that.
Yes.
You can have a different boy in every country, you know. You can be the great ambassador.
No.
That would be lovely.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Have you gotten to explore any of Chicago yet? And are you looking forward to doing something while you're here?
I have been out to Boys Town at the second, third night that I was here, actually, for my birthday celebration.
Oh, yay. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. That was the first time I've been out in Chicago, and today is my second time out in Chicago, so I'm out just shopping and seeing what's out and available, and I'm actually sitting in a pizzeria right now having a deep dish pizza for the first time.
Wow, there you go. That's Chicago.
Quite incredible.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I have to tell you, Kavalia is in the White Big Top in Chicago's West Loop. It's at Racine and Jackson. It's not hard to park around there. There are many experiences you can have, whether you just buy a ticket. If you really want to do it VIP, you can get a rendezvous pass, and you can have cocktail, open bar, and great food beforehand and at intermission and after the show. If the bar and that social aspect's fun for you, plus you'll get a stable visit where you get to go and see all 64 of the horses and walk around there after the show. Or you might just really be into the horses and you want to see the show and go to the stables afterwards. You can do that as well. There's so many options of how you can experience this show. The biggest thing is experience this show. I've got to tell you, it is, you all know I am a theater person and I've been in Chicago 15 years. I see a lot of stuff. This is truly something unique and fantastic passing through our town. So they are also heading to Washington, D.C. next, for those of you who listen and don't live in the Chicago area, and the tour will continue after that. So all this information is at kavalia.net, which we'll have linked in our show notes. That's CAVALIA.net. Or if you're in Chicago and you would like tickets, you can call 1-866-999-8111. And Jesse, I hope you get to explore more of Chicago and downtown and Boys Town. And I hope many other people will get to relish in your performance and all the rest of the cast and the horses.
Great. Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. So, Mitchell, hopefully you'll get to Kavalia.
I hope so.
I really hope so. And Jesse will show you around and go see the little horse tour.
So.
That's what's
you
really
ride
great.
Me.
He can show you around.
I'm sorry,
as
Jesse.
Said,
that's so inappropriate. I've never even met you.
No, he's single. He doesn't care. See, he's already put that out.
Is he coming
to
the house for you to interview him? Or
No. We already did.
You did it. Did you wait? Oh.
So we did. He did not come to the house. We did it over the phone. But
to, like,
I did meet him. I met him after the show with all his eye makeup on.
I wanted to knock on the door like in the next 10 minutes.
Oh, and do a side part two. Nope, he's not coming over. He came. He saw. He's got to ride a horse.
Damn it!
And get blown in a cave.
Get blown in the cave. Or blown in the tent. Same thing.
Blown in a tent. Yeah, the big top.
Oh.
I'm just gonna let that go. So
I'm a little one.
You are. The Senate has adopted some amendments to the Matthew Shepard Hate Crime Prevention Act, and Mitchell and I want to take a few minutes for our soapbox to talk about this here at the very end of the show. A little bit of juicy conversation here.
Yeah, John McCain called it an abuse of power.
What did he mean by that?
I think this is my understanding. I've been sort of reading blurbs, but I haven't sort of sat down and sort of read it all intensely. But what it seems to me is that they've added all this stuff onto the bill that makes it unattractive to pass.
Makes it difficult to pass. Whenever you have any amendment that anybody might have a differing
point on. Things about the death penalty, all these things that sort of make it difficult to pass. And it's seemingly John McCain is on the... is on our side, is on Judy Shepard's side, America's side, about wanting this passed. Mm-hmm. I don't actually get... I think part of the problem is people don't understand why hate crimes is a separate crime. Even my best friend said to me, a crime is a crime. What's the difference? It's already a crime. And I don't think people understand.
But we already have hate crimes against people who are of different religions, of different races. We just don't have different sexuality.
Right.
So I don't understand why this is not just a no-brainer of adding
because they
this
want,
in.
Because they're afraid that that will then create a situation in which if a preacher says all homosexuals are going to go to hell because they're sinners, that could be considered a hate crime.
Well.
Now, I'm of the mind that it fucking is.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. These religious wing nuts, no apologies to you if you're listening. You can suck it.
I don't think they're listening.
No, I don't think they're listening.
The wing nuts, the truly.
Yeah, the wing
nuts. They're getting blown
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're getting blown in the cave.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I think it fucking is a hate crime. You know, the difference between a hate crime, a crime in which somebody does it out of hate and somebody does it. And regular, simply an assault, which is just as terrible, is that a hate crime is meant to intimidate, frighten, and send a very powerful, negative, violent message to an entire group of people at once. It is meant to cause a rippling fear through an entire group of people. That's why it is a different classification of crime. It is not simply like I'm walking down the street, somebody wants my wallet, and they punch me. That is a crime out of desperation. That is a crime out of economics. It's a crime.
Right.
And I don't want to be a victim of it. And there's been quite a bit of it this summer in Chicago, I've heard from about several friends. A hate crime, the distinction is that it is meant to send fear and a panic about... through an entire community, and it's deliberate and it's premeditated.
Right. And I mean, we can think back, you know, why it was there became hate crimes for people of race. We look back at the lynchings, we look back at the burnings, we look back at the things that happened with, you know, stemming from the South, the Ku Klux Klan, of course, many of the Aryan Nation, of course, with the Jewish community. That's all up here.
The Kristallnacht in Germany, you know, when they sort of went on this tirade and just sort of trashing all these Jewish businesses. It was a message.
Right.
Get out. We hate you.
And
live
also,
in fear.
After 9/11, you know, to the Muslim community here living in America. So, you know, there have been the Senate right now passed four amendments to the Matthew Shepard Hate Crime Prevention Act. Three were offered by Senator Sessions, and one was offered by Senator Kennedy. So three were offered by a Republican from Alabama, can't be good. And one was offered by Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, Democrat from Massachusetts. And that happened on the 16th. So, you know, here's the thing. They had a vote. The vote actually was very good, you know, for the Hate Crime Prevention Act. And that's great. But what even the HRC and other people are saying is that they want them to eliminate these amendments so that it can move quickly and swiftly to the president's desk.
But isn't that the point of putting them on?
It is.
To slow it down.
It is. I mean, one of these amendments is... Amendment 1615, it adds the death penalty to the provisions of the Matthew Shepard Act. Interesting because, you know, Dennis Shepard, if you remember, at the trial said, you know, to the two, Aaron McKinney, I give you life.
Right.
So that every day you're in jail, you will remember my son. He said Matthew did not believe, or he did not believe in the death penalty.
It's an extraordinary speech.
Yeah, very, very meaningful speech. And so they're worried about that. There was an amendment a side-by-side amendment offered by Senator Kennedy. It provides for additional restrictions in the use of the death penalty under the act. And so they thought that that was actually a good, if that other amendment stayed on, that that was good because there are some restrictions there and might make it quicker to pass. The third amendment requires the Attorney General to promulgate guidelines with neutral and objective criteria for determining whether a crime was motivated by the status of the victim. And, you know, this to me, again, is like something that I think should just be left up to the courts. You know, the courts have to decide. They have to decide.
Well, you have to look at it and say, is this a hate crime? Right. If somebody's kicking your head and calling you faggot, it's a hate crime. Let's face it.
Yeah. But, you know, and then the only amendment they added that was good and that passed with a vote of 92-0 was an amendment, a new federal criminal offense for cases involving assaults or battery of a U.S. service member or member of the service member's immediate family. And that went past 92-0.
Well, because that just happened.
Because that has been happening. And that actually protects the GLBT community, too, who are serving right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That just happened with that guy.
Right.
Did you've heard about this, right?
Yeah.
Did you talk about it on the show?
Yeah. I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, just terrible. And I guess that, you know, he was the guy who killed him was afraid of being outed.
Yeah. I mean, so that one passed 92
people,
to 0,
to
and I think that will go on.
Over this.
Yeah, we need to get over this. Don't ask, don't tell. We need to pass the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act. So, you know, people keep talking about this, blogging about this, writing about this, sending support to people
who are in power
to your senators. Let your senators know and tell people in other states that you know to let their senators know.
I have a question.
To pass this.
I have a question for the for people listening. I sort of wonder what gay and lesbian people think of the death penalty as far as this goes.
Hmm.
I'm sort of curious. You know, if you're listening,
I don't think the death penalty has anything to do with whether you're gay or lesbian.
No, I'm saying.
I don't know that gay or lesbian people would trend any differently than the general.
That's
public.
My question. I wonder.
I don't know.
I wonder. Does being gay and lesbian make us more compassionate?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Write in an opinion, people.
Yeah.
Let us know.
We could talk a whole show about that.
I'm just curious because, I think we've talked about this before in the past, but I have this whole question about community. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about the gay community, which I'm not so sure. I think maybe it's getting better, but I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this doesn't get depressing, but I'm not so sure there is one. I think when we say gay community, we mean rich white guys who can go to HRC, can afford to go to HRC dinners. And so
I think when we're talking about the Uber community, that's what we're talking about. But I think within our community, there are tons of communities.
Oh, I do too. I think the reality is, but I think when the
mainstream people talk about the gay community, they're talking about usually white gay men.
Right. And it infuriates me because it's...
And usually probably 35 to 50 and professional and wealthy. Or they're targeting gay white young men who are ages 20 to 30 and
who are
party boys.
Party boys,
circuit
right.
Circuit boys.
It's just interesting to me. It would be interesting to me to see what people think.
Yeah. We're an expansive community, though. I would imagine we would trend.
Are you calling me fat?
No, you look fabulous. Everybody saw your picture on the last show. And please comment about him and that you'd like to put him in a cave.
Which picture did she...
Oh, the sexy one.
Oh, no.
You know the one. The one where you're doing the Matheny mouth, which is what
I do.
Suck in the jaws.
People, I hope that anyone who has looked at that picture knows that I'm being bullshit, that I'm doing a bit.
You are so not bullshit.
No, I mean...
You are buff and so bullshit.
Buff and bullshit and tan. It was because we were in Belize and somebody said, "This is Belize, bitch." And that is what happened. I leaned against a pole and that was my physical response to the expression, "Belize, bitch."
Belize, bitch. I love having you back.
I love being here.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Fantastic.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.